it's almost night and day between the person I was before that loss and the person that I'm coming out on the other side of that loss as. So, it's just such a huge, I hate to say it, but it was a huge blessing in the end, right? I mean, it sucked going through it. It was horrible going through it. And to just everything about it was just not good. But on the back end of it, it was a huge blessing in my life and in my family's life and in my, my kids' life, who weren't born yet, but just knowing the person they would have got before compared to the person who has a relationship with Christ and walks with Christ now.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Hi, this is Thin Line Believers. You have Mike and Josiah with you, and this is Adam talking, in case you didn't know. And we might even get Steve on here in a little bit. That would make this a really good day. So today we have, Mike has suggested the topic of loss. And we can look at this on a lot of different levels. But I think we're going to center around that today. I know yesterday was Independence Day as we're recording this on the 5th. And so who knows, maybe the topic of loss is something that should be discussed because things are different on a national level. We're seeing some loss in a lot of different areas, but also there's a lot of people who are experiencing loss of loved ones, and maybe it has nothing to do with death. Maybe it's the loss of a relationship. Maybe it's a loss of a dog. Maybe you lost your dog. I don't know. I don't know what level you're on, but I think it's a great topic, Mike. So if you would like, either Josiah or I can kick us off in prayer, but I'd actually like to grab Josiah before he gets called away. So, Joe, you want to kick us off?
Oh, my pleasure.
Awesome.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you are our hope and our foundation in this life. Mm. And God, even in the midst of dark, heavy clouds and maybe sorrow in our hearts, or Lord, just the questions that surround the topic of loss, Lord, I thank you that we are found in you. And then, Lord, I do pray that you would just minister today, God, by your Holy Spirit, to those who are listening and who will be listening to this. Father, we experience loss now, Lord, we will be going into a time of losing someone or something dear and near to our hearts, God, that you would comfort us, Lord, that you would help us see that light and that pathway to you and to your word and to in you, Jesus. So, Lord, fall upon us this afternoon, this evening, and may you be glorified and honored in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Josiah. Amen. Go ahead, Mike.
So, the topic of loss, this is kind of suggested, I guess, last minute or in the last 24 hours, partly because I have a pastor friend of mine out here in Colorado who recently just suffered a tremendous loss. On Wednesday, we were notified that his kids were involved in a single vehicle accident, losing one of the daughters to the accident, fatality. I don't want to go too much into detail, seeing that it's still fresh on the hearts of a lot of the people. But I'm sure many of us have lost a loved one. Like Adam was mentioning, maybe you lost a dog, Or maybe you lost a relationship. Maybe you lost a best friend. Maybe you lost a boyfriend or girlfriend. Maybe your spouse, your husband or your wife left you. I know that divorce rate is significantly high in public safety. You know, guys and girls cheating each other on uniform, which I don't understand. You take an oath to walk in integrity and in character. But besides that, that's a whole other subject. A little brain fart. When it comes to loss, though, I've officiated, you know, quite a bit of memorials and funerals. And one of the texts that I like to share is out of 2 Corinthians, when Paul says, verse 3 of chapter 1, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort." In verse 4, it says, "Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you also be of consolation." And so I went a little further than I really wanted to, but I just want to focus on verse 3 and 4. You know, one of the things that Paul mentions is blessed. You know, obviously that means, oh, how happy. And, you know, one of the things that, if anything, I think Paul, man, he, that guy probably understood very, very well what loss means and what comfort means and consolation. I mean, he obviously, when he was Saul and he was persecuting the church, he wanted to murder Christians and whatnot. And then once he gets saved, he has a transformation where his heart's changed. And so Paul here is talking about the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. And I love verse 4. It says, "Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort others that are in trouble, any trouble." And same with the, you know, comfort ourselves with the comfort of God. Something that I've learned in pastoral ministry, and I'm sure Josiah can share, because I'm sure he has officiated a number of memorials and funerals. The one thing I appreciate memorials in military or police and fire is the brotherhood, the sisterhood of those that paid the ultimate sacrifice, right? Greater love than no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And, you know, it's kind of amazing to me at times when you go to these memorials. I mean, it could be elaborate in the last minute sense, you know, and something that I've learned to appreciate is just the camaraderie. You know, I mean, seriously, you know, we could be in uniform and we can have coworkers that we just despise, right? They smell, they fart, whatever it is. You just don't want to be around them. But if that person died in the line of duty, you pay your respects, right? And there's a huge loss to the department and to the community. And, you know, when I found out that, you know, a pastor friend of mine lost his kid, I was broken down in tears. I was broken down in emotion. I was just recently flooded. My wife and my kids were recently struck by an uninsured drunk driver back in January. And my emotions was, you know, my eyes were filled with tears and my heart sank, you know, when we found out that he lost his, you know, daughter. And to have it and then have another kid in surgery was just, you know, heartbreaking. And soon as I found this out, the Lord reminded me of, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected and a future and a hope." And then it reminded me of Pastor John Corson, who, you know, I think he was in his 20s when he lost his wife, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
He lost his wife. I think her name was Terry. It was on a Monday. They were going to go skiing, I believe, and they hit black ice. And, you know, Terry died instantly. And God gave that verse to John, Jeremiah 29:11, you know. And not long after, when John was transported to the hospital, Pastor Chuck Smith called and didn't know what to say, but quotes that verse, Jeremiah 29:11. You know, and then some years later, you know, during morning prayers at Applegate Christian Fellowship, I remember his daughter Jessica stood up and said that, you know, prayed that verse, mm-hmm. Jeremiah 29:11, and kissed, you know, Dad, you know, John on the head, and then went to school. Then got a phone call not long after, you know, and Jessica hitting black ice, struck a telephone pole, I believe, died exactly the same as Mom. And, you know, I know a lot of times when people suffer traumatic death, it could be, I don't want to say the end of their life, but it could devastate their life, spiraling them into depression, right? So, you know, the one thing that I've learned to see Pastor John is as a role model. You know, Pastor John kept his hands to the plow and the Word of God and kept on teaching and kept on ministering to his flock, you know, and that's an encouragement to those of us, because obviously Pastor John could be our grandparent or father to us. And it's just the thought of, man, John kept his hands on the plow and kept pushing forward. And I think the cure to depression is to do something for someone else and repeating that 9 more times. You know, the 10-step program, as they would say, you know, to, you know, cure depression. Do something for someone else and repeat that 10 times, 9 more times, 8 more times. And that's something I learned, is in such tragic loss, even though it's hard, if we can find the strength through the Spirit of God to minister to someone else, even in your tragedy, it's a way to lift yourself up out of depression. You know, we all know the, you know, the Disney characters. Hey, look who's jumping on. Steve.
Nice.
As he's connecting, I'm going to keep talking.
Yeah, keep going.
But we all know, you know, as fathers, we all know that Disney, is it Disney? Tigger and Eeyore?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that a Disney thing?
I think so.
But
regardless, but it's just kind of, I think people know who they are.
Yeah. If you're listening, you know who they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, Eeyore is obviously that character where all he sees is gray clouds. Woe is me, you know. And there's Steve and beautiful blue skies back there. But Steve, just to catch you up, brother, we're talking about the topic of loss. So one thing that I've learned as a pastor, one thing that I've learned as a chaplain and having been a firefighter and a cop, is when we suffer loss, I've seen coworkers spiral into depression. You know, they, you know, it's like that Eeyore mentality. Oh, woe is me. You know, they see gray clouds and, you know, the glass is always half empty now. You know, they can't, and you're just stuck in this miry clay. But then you got Tigger, you know, it's just always bouncing around, always a good day, no matter what happens. And I can't imagine the thought of losing my oldest into a car accident and having to prepare a funeral for my, you know, for my kid, you know, and then to think, you know, your youngest daughter has had to be flown twice to different hospitals to have reconstructive jaw surgery, you know, and then to think as a sibling, you know, you're the middle child, your older sibling just died, your younger sibling's in the hospital, and you came, you scathed out okay. You had some minor injuries. And so, I mean, obviously there is the physical healing that takes place in time. God heals. But at the same time, there's the emotional and the spiritual healing. Sometimes, you know, it's like a small crack in a giant pool and it's leaking water and you don't realize it, you know? And when the pool is finally like half empty, you're just like, oh, what happened? And there, and you realize there's a leak in my heart. And that leak is that, that loss, that depression, you know? And that's where Paul, I love Paul when he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, we ought to comfort one another with the same comfort we received of God. And so, you know, those of us that are listening to this podcast, you know, now or at a later time, please know that in Christ, there is that comfort. You know, the word comfort also is in reference, I believe, in the Holy Spirit, Parakletos, right? And the Holy Spirit is there to comfort you, to minister to you, whatever that loss might be. I remember losing my mom to cancer, and that was a devastating loss. But she was such a huge example of faith to me that her loss was my gain in so many ways. The woman who was suffering from cancer begged God never to take her voice, but she could lose her hair. And she went completely bald. And I thought that was kind of interesting because, you know, women love their hair. They like to do their hair and all that. But she said, I don't want to lose my voice because I get to worship God with my voice. And I'm going to worship God when I get to heaven. And I'll have a new body, so my hair could come then. So that, you know, in her dying, for me was her graduating, but yet she gave me a gift, that example of faith to trust the Lord. And, you know, and a lot of times, you know, a lot of I know a lot of guys and, you know, girls in uniform, when they suffer a loss, they turn to the bottle, whether it be alcohol or drugs. You know, they turn to porn. They turn to devices that, you know, like you become like Eeyore, you spiral down. It's that slow leak in the pool and you don't even realize it. Little by little, you're watching those things. Little by little, you're taking drugs and drinking alcohol. And next you know, it's like, what happened to me? You know, whereas we need to find ourselves at a place of, you know, calling upon each other. Like every time we do these podcasts, after we end it, I tell my wife, I'm encouraged. I'm spurred on. You know, as iron sharpens iron, so shall one man sharpen another, you know. And like even, you know, watching Josiah teach, you know, and the ocean in the background. And I was like, man, I'm jealous.
Right.
I was just like,
seriously,
man, it's like 100 degrees everywhere. And he's just like, hey, suckers, I'm teaching at the beach.
Chilling in a freaking camp chair. I mean, geez.
Right? Damn. But the one thing I'm grateful for this Thin Line Believers podcast because it's sharpened me, but it's brought me closer to the Lord. You know, one thing that I tell my kids that I learned from my Bible college pastor, Larry Taylor of old, he used to say, fall more in love with Jesus today than yesterday. Know more of Jesus right now than when you first woke up. And, you know, it's, you know, I think we've talked about this before. It's not, I have to, I get to, you know, and just the fact that I get to share the gospel, share the word, where I get to encourage and spur one another on. And that's the beauty of the Word of God, the Spirit of God, you know. And blessed be God, the God of all comfort, who comforts us. And so, and those that are listening, I really want to encourage us. We've lost people due to stupidity of BLM, Antifa, stupid riots. Like, you know, Oregon could be pronounced Oregon, right? Yeah. it's gone. And it's almost like that needs to happen so that there's a bigger revival, right?
Yeah,
like they say, in a big storm, there's like a chill, like a, all of a sudden there's no wind, and then all of a sudden there's a storm that comes. And so in that sense, those of us that have suffered loss in maybe marriage, maybe life, maybe family member, whatever it might be, God is there to comfort us. And at the same time, we need to comfort others, because they might, you know, I don't know about you. Those of us that wear the uniform, you don't like to ask for help, because you get, your ego's like, woohoo, pretty big, right? I don't need help. And the reality is, I need help, you know. And we have little kids. What do? When they're little, like 2, 3, 4 years old, daddy, I can't put this together. It's like, that Lego piece does not go there, son. You can't force it in there, you know? And they come to help. And so too, we ought to be available, not only to the Lord, but to each other, and just say, hey, I need to talk. And to be able to call on each other and say, hey, I need help. And there we can comfort one another with the words of Jesus Christ, and comfort one another with, you know, with holy, you know, with prayer. I'll share one more story, and then I'll let, you know, you guys can jump in. Back in Iowa, I was checking out a church. I got a chance to lead worship for the group of leadership. And after prayer, the youth pastor didn't want to share, but he shared this kind of a word of knowledge, a prophecy, so to speak. Because I shared that our family going through a trial, I was assuring my wife and kids in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, that God promised, or Jesus promised the disciples, hey, let us pass over to the other side, right? And then in verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, when they got to the other side. And I was sharing that story, how God's been, and then the youth pastor's like, while you were leading worship, the Lord gave me an image that you're in a boat, that your sails are all tattered, but you're gonna come to shore. Where that's at, I'm not sure. And man, that gave me such chills, because it's like, right, well, that's crazy, you know. And so those of us that are listening, I want to promise you, with the same promise that Jesus gave to the disciples, we're going to get to the other side. You know, more, I would desire that God would rapture us to the other side. That would be the ultimate, you know, passing over. But the reality is, until the Lord tarries and brings us home, God's in our boat. Because in that text of Mark chapter 4, there was other little ships. Know that God is in the ship of your heart. And maybe you need to wake him up, you know, and let him look at the storm and say, peace, be still. Because that storm might be caused by the enemy, not by anything else, but the enemy. And so, you know, in whatever loss that we're going through, Jesus says we're going to pass over to the other side. Not going to be easy, because there's going to be winds of adversity, you know, the waves of trouble. But the Lord promises that he's going to get us to the other side.
Nice. And now, hey, let me, I'm going to quote here real quick, because you referenced Jeremiah 29:11. And I knew what you were talking about, because I know John's story too. Just like, that's been a big motivation for me. The verse says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And let's go on just one verse further. "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Hey, welcome back, Steve. How you doing?
See, I'm still getting the hang of this whole Zoom thing. I was on mute. Didn't even know it.
That's all right. So, you're here now. How you doing, bud?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here. I think this is the first time I've been here when Mike and Josiah have been on and joining you guys. And like you guys are talking about seasons of loss and of just craziness and Oregon, as Mike calls it.
Yeah, hey, I do want to say one thing before you continue. I'm really glad that you jumped on here because now they know that not everybody in Oregon has a mustache. So
I can't grow it well enough, or I might have one if I could grow one. But yeah, no, it doesn't look good on me. So yeah, I mean, just like you guys are talking about, I mean, it's been a season, as I know. You guys know, I don't think Thin Line Believers who turn in and listen know quite the extent of just how crazy the season has been. And I know it has been for everybody in these lines of work, you know. I mean, whether it be police, fire, you know, law enforcement, or, you know, military. I mean, everybody right now is feeling the hit and the environment that the you know, that the enemy is casting and is casting heavy right now, trying to really drag all of us down. So to be here with you guys and to be back on and talking to those tuning in, it is quite the blessing, like Mike said, you know, when you can make it here and you can speak some truth into others who might be going through what you're going through. You know, it's definitely impactful. I mean, just listening to these guys, what they've done, you know, recently, without being part of it, has been a huge, you know, huge uplifting thing for me to turn into and to, you know, kind of drag myself through the mire and through the muck, like, you know, Mike was kind of hitting on, and pulling myself to that place and turning heavier to the Lord, and, you know, finding those checks and balances, like we've talked about in the past, of, you know, I've got to learn to say no, and I got to learn to say yes to the Lord more. And, you know, just finding that now, it has been coming more and more true. So it's good to be here.
Yeah. I'm glad to get you back, bud. I really am. Hey, I'm actually gonna save my little speech here for the end, I think. Because I'd actually like to hear from Josiah, because I don't know, something about the way Joe talks. I just want to hear what he has to say.
Well, as you guys were talking about loss, I was brought to the Gospel of John, and I think the biggest thing that we need to hold on to in seasons of loss is that Jesus knows. He knows what it means to lose someone that he loves and that he cares for. And in the Gospel of John, Martha sends news to him that Lazarus is sick. And it says there in the Gospel of John that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus dearly. And he waits two more days in the town he was at. And he says, we're going to go, you know, I'm going to wake Lazarus up. And Jesus knew there. He knew what was going to happen. He knew the plan. And yet, though, we have in those verses in the Gospel of John that Jesus wept. Right? He knew pain. He knew what it means for us as humans to suffer and to lose. And he contacts Martha and he says, your brother will rise again, in verse 23 of John chapter 11. Martha says to him in verse 24, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So she knew, she had hope right? And we do have hope. And even in this situation in our valley, we have hope of where the pastor's daughter is at, right? We have hope that, you know, in as we are in Christ Jesus, that if I take my last breath here on earth, that I will see Jesus face to face. That's a hope that we as believers have, that our death is not the end, right? And so she says, hey, I know that my brother will rise again. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. And as soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and she came. And Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And we know it goes on that Jesus will call forth Lazarus there, and he weeps at the tomb. Everyone's amazed at how he loved him. And I want to really focus on the fact that point that I started off in. No matter where we are in our loss, no matter what stage, if it's at the beginning, if it's in the middle, if it's years down the road, right? That we've lost a loved one and now it's been, you know, several years and we're still struggling with the hurt and the pain that comes with that loss. We need to run to Christ. We need to run to the foundation of who he is. He is the resurrection and the life. If we believe in him, as it says there, if we believe in him, we shall not die and we will live. That's our hope. That's what's going to get us through the pain, the tears, the sorrow, the maybe not even eating and not sleeping well, right? All those other things that Mike mentioned that we run to as humans, the drugs, the alcohol, you know, maybe anger. You might have those things, but those things are temporary. Those things are not going to satisfy or heal the loss that we're dealing with. The only thing that's going to comfort that, the only thing that is going to get us through this is Jesus Christ. And he knows.
Amen to that. Steve, did we lose you on here? I know you're battling some stuff there, aren't you? Steve just texted me. Apparently, he got stung 4 times sitting there. Oh, I hear a bit from you, Steve. You there?
I'm out on my back.
Uh-oh.
Can't hear you very well.
Can you hear me?
Yep, can hear you now. Yeah, maybe not. We're going to have to.
So while I'm on.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you're still breaking up there, Steve-o. Tell you what, we'll let Steve get to a better spot. Maybe one where he's not going to get, you know, swelled up and whatnot.
You know, something that Josiah shared is John 11. There's two responses that I always remind myself to, you know, they say don't take siblings' side, but I'm going to take the side of Mary versus Martha. You know, Martha came and said, hey, Lazarus died. Where were you? You know, she went her way. And then Mary came and she wept at his feet. And that's something that, you know, along with, you know, being with, you know, what Brother Josiah said is, you know, we need to fall at the feet of Jesus, you know, and stay there. You know, I think when we lose sight of the Lord is when we get distracted, you know, like our fisherman brother Peter, who asked the Lord, hey, bid me to come. And he did. And he's walking on water. And what happened when he took his eyes off of Jesus? He sank. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think a lot of times we have sinking moments in our lives where, you know, maybe it's a loss of a job, you know, like me. And it's not that you did anything wrong, though the enemy wants to accuse you of doing wrong. But I just realized life happens. God is still on the throne. And I remember Pastor Chuck Smith would say this all the time. Don't fall in the things you don't understand. Fall in the things that you do. Number one, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Your sins are forgiven. And if you repent and accept Jesus Christ in your heart, you're going to heaven. We are going to heaven. You know, and sometimes in our loss, and this is where we have to be very careful not to fall into depression, is whoever we lose, and we know that they are a believer in Jesus Christ, they're in heaven. You know, there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering. And in that loss, though, if we find comfort and consolation in the scriptures and in the Holy Spirit, that's what we need to give to others. You know, especially, you know, not to grow weary in doing well. Galatians chapter 6 tells us, right? Don't grow weary in doing well, especially in the household of faith. And so if we have fellow, you know, brothers and sisters that are in Christ and they're going through some loss or some hardship, comfort them with the word of Christ. You know, there are times when, you know, in our text thread, we could be joking around and stuff, but there are times when, you know, words of encouragement are set and it's phenomenal, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, Brother Steve might need some bee sting comfort. I don't know.
Yeah. Some ointment. He needs some ointment.
But, you know, to my brothers and sisters out there, right now, this month, the Olympic trials are taking place, right? And I could just see Paul writing his Pauline epistles, you know, strapped down, you know, chained down by soldiers, and he can hear the games taking place. And Paul would write, hey, that's a good verse to write in my book. Hey, run the race with endurance, right? I know the author of Hebrews, in my opinion, is Paul, but he says that there's a cloud of witnesses. Lay aside any weight or sin that easily beset us to run, right? And, you know, I love the Olympics. Now, some sports I don't think should be in there, but...
What's wrong with curling, bro?
Hey, that's probably the only sport I could do now in my age. Hey, we can have a thin line believers curling team.
Heck yeah. Let's do it.
But, you know, like that recent, is it the 200 meter hurdler? McCoughlin? Anyways, she's a Christian. The last Olympics, she came, I think, second or third or whatever. Mm. And during the Olympic trials, she straight up broke the Olympic record. I mean, the world record, you know, strong Christian. And, you know, and she was, I read in one of her articles, she was talking about how stay the course, stay focused on me, stay the course, stay focused on me, you know. And, you know, the Olympics are every 4 years. So you got to train accordingly. Mm-hmm. And there are times when you're going to fall. We need to get back up, brush it off, and train, you know. And as we get older, our bodies age. And as our bodies age, it gets harder to, you know, run long distance and run. But you keep it up because why? I believe not only for pastors, but especially for those in the first responder arena, is to be a servant leader warrior mentality. You got to be willing and ready to serve. You got to be willing and ready to lead. And you got to be willing and ready to be a warrior for Christ. Mm-hmm. And we can't do any one of those three unless we're staying actively engaged in the Word of God and in prayer and being in the Spirit and moving forward. And, you know, Martha, as Josiah was reading that text, I was reminded, Martha, it says in verse 28 of 11, she went her way. Mary fell at the feet of Jesus. And those are the choices that we have to make, you know, when we have a loss, when we suffer trials and tribulation. Are we going to bicker to God, which we should, but go back our way? Or are we going to tell God, hey, Lazarus died, but she fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped? And I think that's pivotal as believers, is no matter what we're going through, if our faces are glued to the Word of God, that's all we should see and not our problems. You know?
Absolutely. I mean, she, in both that passage, just to jump in over your mic, sorry.
No, be my guest.
Martha believed what Jesus was saying when he said, I'm the resurrection of life. She's like, I believe it. I believe that you are the Son, the living God, Jesus Christ, that that when I die, you know, we will be resurrected. I believe it. But she still went her way, right? And Mary fell. And to me, that's putting my faith to practice, right? It's not just on word, but it's in deed as well. I'm living it, right? So it's one thing just to believe it and say it, and it's one thing to believe it, say it, and live it. And that's where we need to be. I mean, in my state of grieving, you know, in a loss, I believe in who Christ is. I believe in the words that I have in my hand in the Bible, and I'm going to fall at the feet of Jesus, and I'm just going to be ministered to. And there's a time for that, right? To be ministered to, and then to be picked up and to move on. I think of David, who pleaded night and day for the child with Bathsheba, and he didn't eat, and he didn't eat, and he didn't eat, and they came to him, and they said, the child has died, and he stood up, and he washed his face, and he worshiped God. God had spoken, and he took that loss, and he moved on, and he went and did what he was supposed to do. And I think so there's times for us to, you know, sit there and weep and cry out to the Lord for what we're going through. And there's times to take that answer that he brings us and stand up and move on and not forget, but move on with the hope and the faith and the courage and the strength that Christ will give us. You know, that we will be reunited with our loved ones if they believe in Christ. And I think with the idea of losing someone, you know, I might have family members who aren't walking with the Lord. And if I lose them, man, that's for eternity, right? I might have friends who don't know who Christ is. And if I lose them, that's for eternity. I have the very words that are going to heal their heart and give them the hope and the assurance of faith in Christ. And that's what it's about. Again, we come back to it, right? I mean, Christ is everything and all. And we need to hold on to that. And we need to, you know, make sure that people are being ministered to in that process. You guys, I've got to go. I love you all. May you be strengthened and encouraged in the Lord. And I look forward to getting on this more time.
Take care, brother. Bye. Thanks for joining.
Be safe.
I had an alpaca looking at me through the window. I was distracted there for a second. Hey, Steve, I'm a little bit curious about your point of view on this. I know that you have experienced loss on several levels, and especially so when you actually came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as you have it now. So I'm actually little bit curious about your perspective.
I'm hoping the internet here is going to let me talk.
So far, so good.
And then the enemy's fighting me by sending wasps at me to try and take me out at the ankles. This is just not good right now. But as far as loss goes, yeah, I mean, I've talked about it quite a bit on the podcast here. You know, I went through a season in 2008, had a divorce late in 2008, lost two of my brothers to substance abuse within about 5 weeks of each other. Which really at the time, I didn't really have a whole lot of a relationship with Christ at that point. You know, I grew up Mormon and I left that, you know, that church when I was like 17, 18, just wasn't for me. And from about 17, 18 to about 30, I really didn't have a relationship there. And so I look at it as, you know, just being stripped down to your core with that season. And I was stripped down to nearly nothing left. And, you know, the Lord opened that door to me and I ran through it and threw that door open. And, you know, my life completely changed from that day, you know, forward with my wife, Corey, that I have now, and our relationship with Christ and how much we grew together in that. You know, as tough as that season was, there was such a bigger purpose within it, that I obviously didn't see at the time, but that the Lord, you know, was presenting me and just, you know, building me back up as not only, you know, a person, you know, with all the flaws that I had and still have, but, you know, just as, relationally and as spiritually, and I mean, just everything. It's almost night and day between the person I was before that loss and the person that I'm coming out on the other side of that loss as. So, you know, it's just such a huge, I mean, I hate to say it, but it was a huge blessing in the end, right? I mean, it sucked going through it. It was horrible going through it, and to just everything about it was just not good. But on the back end of it, it was a huge blessing in my life and in my family's life and in my, you know, my kids' life, who weren't born yet, but just knowing the person they would have got before compared to the person who has a relationship with Christ and walks with Christ now, the type of father they would have had and the type of husband my wife would have had or not had in the end, if, you know, she would have said, nope, don't like you. You know, I mean, just knowing what was built from that, you know, it's just, it's amazing. So when all of you find yourselves in those spots of, you know, that true, just devastating loss, and I know it's probably been said on this podcast and on a lot of them that we've done before, but just turning your face to Christ and turning your life towards Christ and not getting stuck in that mire that Mike was talking about, where a lot of people fall into, you know, not reaching out for those vices that feel good right now or that feel good at the time, you know, to help you through it. But that, you know, that promise that the Lord makes to us, it is so much sweeter than anything that you're going to put in your body or do to your body. So.
Yeah, for sure. Well said. I agree with that completely. So, Mike, I want to, you know, thank you for giving us some hope, you know, as far as those who have died in Christ. I absolutely agree with you, you know, to be absent with the body is to be present with Christ. And that's an amazing place to be. You can't even imagine how amazing that is. If the earth is God's footstool, right? How much more amazing is his home? And so, you know, there's a huge hope there. What's really hard is when it's somebody who we know didn't believe, or if it's somebody who chose to, you know, Steve, I know this is probably pretty close to home for you. Somebody who makes a choice, a decision that they're done, right? And there's no reason not to be blunt here. I'm talking about somebody who has committed suicide, right? Who has completed suicide. That's tough to wrap our minds around. And this occurred very recently to a friend of mine who's a chaplain. And their whole department is reeling, dealing with this, a coworker suicide. And those ones are really difficult because, you know, depending on your belief, and I don't share this belief from a Catholic viewpoint. They don't, you know, they'll say that those who have committed suicide don't go to heaven. I find no biblical backing for that. Okay, I think that's a Catholic thing, and I totally disagree with it. I think the Bible is silent on that issue for a reason, and so we're to be silent on that issue as well. I'm not to say one thing or another about it. But I will say this. Only God knows the heart of a man. None of us know. We can have conversations with somebody and they can claim atheism, they can claim whatever. Only God knows the heart, especially in those last moments of life. I'll say that. And that should come as a comfort to us because it's not up to us to decide whether they are in heaven or hell. God is justice, perfect justice, something we know nothing about. Even if we're in law enforcement, we know nothing of perfect justice. Only God knows. And so you can rest assured that any decision that is made by God is going to be perfectly just. Now, having said that, if the person that you're experiencing loss with or because of, if that person is saved by grace, any judgment that should have been poured out on them has been poured out on Christ. Any judgment that should have been poured out on me has already been poured out on Christ. So you don't have to worry about that. So along those lines, for some reason, and the book of Job is where I tend to turn in these cases, for me personally. And I don't know why. This is a book that I always kind of, I really hated to get into this book, quite honestly, because it's a hard book. Job went through hell, man. As close to you as you can get to it here on earth anyway, in my opinion. The loss of his entire family. And I talked about this yesterday with a group. The loss of his entire family, the loss of all of his livestock, his means of making a living. He went from probably the wealthiest man to the poorest man overnight. So the loss of all of that. And then his wife survives. And I say that sarcastically to add to his problems, because when she comes to him, instead of coming to him with a voice of comfort, she comes and says, just curse God and die. Curse God and die is what the wife says. The complete opposite of what she should have been sharing with him. And of course, Job is a righteous man, and he says, shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips, it says. Which reminds me of that saying that I see, I think it's Forged Clothing came out with this line called Forged in Adversity or something like that.
Yeah, which I think I've seen what you're talking about.
Which I think is a good way to look at it. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times we push back against adversity. We don't want to deal with it. And if it's the loss of a loved one, we don't want to deal with that. In fact, a lot of times we get angry at God. And I know that that's one of the, what do they call them? The phases of recovery or something like that. Mm-hmm. One of those is anger. And a lot of people really do truly direct that anger at God. And God can handle that, and that's okay. God can handle that. we need to remember who God is and respect him and honor him and hold him in reverence, but he can handle your anger. Okay. Just throwing that out there. But also, I don't want to be one who runs away from adversity, who runs away from, you know, the storm. I know we've talked about it on here. I think maybe Josiah talked about it, how Rich Froning, CrossFit extraordinaire Rich Froning, right? He's got this buffalo ranch. And part of the reason that he really promotes this thing is because he you know, speaking of Josiah, he's back, talking about buffaloes, they run into a storm in order to shorten the amount of time they are within that storm. But I want to give you another reason to maybe run toward that storm, to accept the adversity and to run into it head first, is because toward the end of Job here, after he has been suffering with the boils head to toe, he's suffered ridicule from three of his so-called friends. And I like to point out, his friends sat with him in silence for a week as he suffered. Mm-hmm. And they did so good till they opened their mouths. Something to consider. Maybe it's a friend of yours who's suffering a hard time. Maybe you just need to show up and shut up. But at the end of all of this back and forth talk that we find for, I don't know, it's almost, I think it's like 34 chapters or 35 chapters of Job. In chapter 38, verse 1, this particular verse right here has had a huge impact on my life when I'm going through adversity. And it says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind." Some translations say, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm." If you want to hear from the Lord, sometimes it's going to be in the midst of a storm. A lot of times in our comforts and in our eases, we want to hear from God. We want, "God, I want a word from you." And a lot of times we do that without a Bible open. And so that's silliness right there, because we have the complete word of God in print, the most printed book in history. But there's other times we need to be in the midst of an adversity, in the midst of a trial, in order to hear from God. And I have found that when I am in the midst of a trial, that even though I'm not enjoying the trial itself, it's exactly where I want to be, because it's when I'm closest to the Lord. And it's when I receive that peace that surpasses understanding. Now, Mikey talked about Pastor John Corson there. And I remember him talking about after he had lost his wife, that there was a group of gals at his church that came together with him. And up until that point, he had completely depended on the Lord. And he'd received an unexplainable peace. And then when he came together with these women, they wept together. They cried together for his loss. Granted, it was a temporary loss, right? Because we know where his wife is. But they wept together. And then afterwards, he made it sound, and I don't want to butcher this, but he made it sound like there was some conviction from the Lord saying, if you're going to receive that, you're not going to receive the peace that I give you. So when we look outside of our relationship with the Lord to fill that void, we're saying, "I don't need you, Lord. What I need is I need attention from others." And I think that there comes a time when we need to get away from that and accept the peace from the Lord that surpasses understanding, because there's really no peace like it, especially in a season of loss or trial, tribulation. And I'm done.
Amen. Yeah. Well, do we need to add to that? I mean, I think that's exactly what, you know, what we need to do. Christ stands there with his hands open, ready to minister to us. And he is our source of everything. And we need to realize that. We need to cling to that. We need to move away from the things of this world and draw closer to our Lord to withstand these storms, to understand that, as Mike said earlier, we will get to the other side. He's promised that. He's promised to present us holy and blameless before God. We're going to get there. And that's who we hold on to. That's who we rest in. He doesn't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And so we can with full confidence, as you guys had mentioned, walk into this storm and get through it, knowing that he has said he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Absolutely. One last thing, and then I'm finished, and you guys can go on as long as you want, but this is the last that I have really to add to this, is that if you're a man listening to this podcast, I don't care. If you're experiencing loss to the point where you're broken, you can come before the Lord and you can mourn, okay? You can bawl your eyes out, all right? Jesus, speaking of Lazarus, he bawled his eyes out. The Bible says that he wept. That is the shortest verse in the entire Bible, and it's so that we can remember it. It's so that you can memorize two words: Jesus wept. And Matthew chapter 5 verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So if you're experiencing loss, man, pour out your emotions to God. Do it in private if you need to. That's fine. But I tell you what, if Jesus, my Lord and Savior, a carpenter, likely a carpenter who who built, what do you call them for oxen? Yoke, right? Yoke for oxen. Those suckers are heavy, man. We're talking a manly man who dealt with massive critters and built massive wooden whatever. He was a man's man, flipping tables, right? We talked about that last week. This is a man's man, and he came and Jesus wept. So what would Jesus do? If you experience loss, you can weep, man. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I'm done.
Well, you make a good point there. I think so often we bottle our feelings and we bottle our cares and we bottle our worries and we suffer from it. And enough of this suffering alone, right? We're a community. We're a family. We know each other because we're in Christ Jesus. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Reach out. Don't do this alone. It's not there. I mean, Jesus wept and he had men and women around him who cared for him and could, you know, deal with it. And he knew at that moment that he was going to, you know, tell them, roll the stone away and call Lazarus out from the dead. I mean, who was in the tomb for 4 days and was stinking and nasty, wrapped in all of these, you know, burial cloths. And he wept. He took the time, as Adam said, to mourn. And I think we need to do that. We do need to take the time to mourn. We need to take the time to be healed. We need to take the time to deal with what we're dealing with. But in the right, as we've been saying, in the right perspective, with the right focus, and that's on Christ.
Scripture says, mourn with those that mourn. Rejoice with those that rejoice, weep with those that weep. And I think we touched upon a subject that is vast, it's huge. But I think the church at large has done a kind of a poor job, you know, like coming alongside and weeping with those that weep, hurting with those that hurt, you know. Adam, you mentioned Job and his little three counterparts. They were doing so good when they zipped their mouths, you know. And there are people that out there that might not know how to say things, but man, you know how to cook a good meal. Mm-hmm. You know how to bake goods.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a post-it note. It says, hey, thinking and praying for you. Here's a meal for you, you know. I don't know about you guys, but you remember good food.
You're making me hungry, you know, right now.
Right? Well, it's almost dinner time for me, but
tacos. You know,
tacos.
tacos.
But oh gosh. Here we go. But, but you know what I'm saying? It's like I know, you know, Josiah's wife, Anya, man. That girl could bake. I mean, she could cook, but she could bake, you know. And I'm sure there are those in the listening audience, you like to bake or you like to cook. You might not be like us where we could talk with words, where we're kind of like preachers that we could go on for hours, right? But, I mean, you might know someone that's hurting. You don't. What's that saying? Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
And you might just need to put together a little basket together and put a little note saying, hey, sorry for your loss, or sorry what you're going through, and praying for you. Throw some scriptures on there. They're going to be forever grateful for that.
And it makes, you know, a big difference down the road, because you, like the saying goes, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if I still have my note in here, in my Bible. I mean, I went through one of my Bibles. I was going through our recent trial. There was a lady, I believe she was from Calvary Chapel, Montebello. And she quotes Charles Swindoll. No, not Swindoll. But anyway, she left a quote in there. And it was tucked in away. Speaking of trials, just to hang on, hang strong. You know, and I was just like, oh my gosh, you know. And I believe A.W. Tozer is the one who says, you know, he who wants to be used greatly must suffer deeply. You know, we as humans don't like trials. We as humans don't like adversity. And I think, Adam, you touched upon earlier, you know, to embrace, you know, the tragedy.
Suck. Embrace the suck.
Embrace the suck, right? And like when we all go through the academy and we have our, you know, cadre yelling at us, you know, trying to do push-ups, and you're just like, I'm trying, but I'm also got to go to the bathroom too. And you're just like, they're yelling at you and pushing you. They're doing that so that they can make you stronger, you know? And, you know, unfortunately the academies in the country has gotten weaker, in my opinion, but you know, something that I've just embraced, you know, embrace the suck. But not only that, like, I think I know Josiah has a shirt of the buffalo,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it is true. It's like, we're all, the fact of the matter is we're all going to face storms in life. You know, the difference is Jesus is in our boat versus in Mark chapter 4, when we referenced it earlier, it says Jesus went into the boat with the disciples and then there were other ships around it. The fact of the matter is there's so many people that don't have Jesus in their heart, the boat of their heart, so to speak. And people watch us go through adversity, go through trials. And when we're looking to Jesus, when we're looking to the scriptures, when we're looking to the Holy Spirit, when we're looking to pastors, we're looking to churches, and we're not going to the bottle, we're not going to drugs, we're not going to, you know, bars and strip clubs and whatnot. We're going to Jesus Christ. And they're like, how you suffered this loss. How are you dealing with this? And you're like, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Nothing else, nothing less, nothing more. And so that's something that I think is huge as we are getting closer and closer to his coming. And want to encourage our brothers and sisters in uniform, you know, stand strong, you know, hold your ground, anchor your boat into the word of God, you know, and be in that place of trusting and falling upon the Lord and going to Jesus. You know, those of you that are listening, you guys don't realize Josiah and I have known each other for over 20 years through Bible college and all. We've been in ministry and all that. And there were times when both of us would go through various, but similar trials. And it was that brotherhood that we were able to call each other and to pray for each other and spur one another on, you know, into the Lord. And just like, you know, those of us that wear the uniform, we're a firefighter or a cop or a soldier. There's that saying, hey, I got your six, right? I got your back. All of us, we need, you know, if you're a man, have a man that you can look up to in faith, not a woman. If you're a woman, find a sister in the Lord that's stronger than you so that you can call on them at any time for prayer and for encouragement, you know, because when the time comes, if there is a loss, if there is tragedy, if there is adversity, number one, you want the word of God, obviously, to be able to spur you on and comfort you. But number two, you need that brother or that sister to come alongside you, embrace you, you know, and, you know, pray for you and love on you. And, you know, because we're all going to experience those Eeyore moments, but we need Tigger to come in and bring us out, you know, with a little bit of a piglet with the honey. But yeah, that's it for me.
Well, shall I pray us out, or do you have anything to add, Josiah?
I do. One verse. Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds.
Nice. Doesn't mean there won't be scars, guys. You're going to remember it.
Scars give testimony.
There you go. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We lift your name as it's already the name above all names. But we lift it in our hearts, Lord. We lift it in our lives. And we ask that you would help us to make sure that your name holds its proper place in our lives individually. We ask that we will always put you first in our endeavors, in our careers, every aspect of our lives, especially in our families. We thank you for your word. We thank you for sharing with us, and we ask that something today was for somebody who listens, and that your word would be heard by them. not ours, but yours. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we lost Steve at the last second there, or maybe last 10 minutes, but it was sure good to get him back for a little bit, even though the enemy was sure fighting to keep him off of here. And also good to have you, Josiah. Glad that you were able to at least come on here and share. That was great. So until next week, as always, y'all can find us on Instagram, Facebook, email thinlinebelievers@gmail.com, and we also have a website, thinlinebelievers.com. So see y'all soon. Oh yeah, and I think we'll be putting this one on YouTube. This would be a good YouTube one. So all right, take care. Wrong button.
The recording has stopped.